Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So we told you to wear your football jerseys, your team shirts this weekend, and it's been cool. A lot of people wore shirts. I've seen people wearing Raiders shirts and Steelers shirts and UNLV shirts, which is awesome. I've seen a few people wearing Cowboys shirts. That is not awesome. God does not love the Cowboys. And I will pray for your souls. College football started last week. I love college football. The NFL starts this Thursday night. I love pro football. I realize that not everyone loves football, and that's cool. But I also realize that not everyone loves church. And to me, that's not cool. To me, like, that makes me sad. And I actually think that the reasons people who love football are very similar to the reasons people who love church. And I think the reasons some people don't love football are very similar to the reasons some people don't love church. I'll explain. One of the things that's great about football is that there is a goal, right? Like, can you imagine if players were just kind of running around the field, throwing the ball around, and the whole time people are like, hey, what are they trying to do out there? And it's like, we don't know. No one knows. They just run around and they throw the ball, and they're not really trying to do anything. They just run around and with the ball. Well, no, right? Football would not be popular if that was the case. What makes football work is that there is a goal. Get the ball into the end zone. Without that goal, football would be dumb, right? It would be a waste of time. It's about getting the ball into the end zone, the right end zone, right? If you get it in the wrong end zone, that's not good either. In fact, one of the most famous plays in football history, that's exactly what happened. Maybe you haven't seen it. If not, here you go. Watch this.
Looking. Stops, throws, completes it to Kilmer up at the 30-yard line. Kilmer driving for the first down, loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way. Marshall is running the wrong way, and he's running it into the end zone the wrong way. Thinks he scored a touchdown. He has scored a safety. His teammates were running along the far side of the field, Russ, trying to tell him, go back.
Whoops, right? Whoops. One of the things that's great about football is that there is a goal. You need to know the goal, right? Without that goal, football would be dumb, just a waste of time. In fact, if you watch a sport and you don't know the goal, the sport seems stupid. Like, I was in India last year watching cricket on TV, and I was like, this sport's stupid. Well, it's not stupid. I just don't know the goal, so it seems stupid to me. And I think some people find church dumb, a waste of time, stupid, because they don't see the goal. It's like, okay, yeah, I know it's about God, and I know we're supposed to worship God, and I know we want to try to help people go to heaven, but, like, is that it? No, that's not it. It is about God, and we are supposed to worship God, and we are trying to help people get to heaven, but that's not all it's about. It's about transformation. That's the goal. The idea is that God loves you and wants what's best for you. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change a thing to get God to love you. God loves you the way you are, but God knows that there is a better you that you can be. You know that too, right? And God wants to help you become what you were always meant to become. The goal is transformation. That's the end zone. That's what we should want. And there's a selfish side to this. Like I want to change for me. I am so sick of some of the things that I do, some of the things I think, some of the things I want. I can't keep being the same person. I know that there's a better me that I can be, and I want to become that. And so, like, there's a selfish side. I want to be transformed for me. But there's also, and much more, a very unselfish side to this. Like, I want to change because I love God. And I want to live a life that honors Him. I want to make God smile. And I want to change for the people I love, for my family and my friends. They need me to be my best. They deserve that for me. And I want to change for people who don't love God, for people who don't really know God. The mission that God has given me and you is to help everyone to know him and his love. And the best way I can do that is by living a life where people see God in me and experience God's love through me. And so I want to change for all of those reasons. I need to change. And so do you. And that's the goal. It's all about transformation. The goal is transformation. I want to show you some places where God tells us this in the Bible. So look on the screen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Let God transform you into a new person. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." It says you can be a new person. And doesn't new sound nice, right? It's like the you that you are supposed to be. You get transformed into you living God's will for your life, which we're told is good and pleasing and perfect. That's what I want for me and for you, and that's what it's all about. The goal is transformation. Here's another way God says this. And if you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at a bunch of verses in Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, no problem. We'll put all the verses on the screen. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible at home, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. So we will would love to give you a Bible today on your way out. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 22, where it says, here's the goal. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so what it's saying is, the transformation is the goal. That God wants you to still be uniquely you, but a you that looks a lot more like Jesus. It's part of the reason Jesus came, so that he could model for us. He can show us what a human life could look like, what it's supposed to look like. So how do I be me, but living a life that's more like Jesus? And I want to encourage you with this today. That's possible. It's possible for you. And I can say that because I've experienced this. So I became a Christian in my early 20s, completely non-Christian background. And that day that I became a Christian, I was a very impatient, a very not gentle person. And I started to change, but very little at first. And then I met this woman, and then we got married, and I got truly the best wife in the world, the best wife a person could ask for. She got a very impatient, very not gentle husband. Not what she asked for. I didn't yell. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't throw things. I wasn't physical at all. But the truth is, I was not patient. I was not gentle. I could be demanding. I was harsh at times. So one night, a couple of years into our marriage, I'm laying in bed, I'm half falling asleep. I thought my wife had already fallen asleep, and then she said something. I didn't know she was awake. She said, "Vince?" And I said, "Yeah?" And she said, "I don't like you." I had not been transformed. I was still living my life. I was not living God's will for my life. And the life I was living for me and for my wife was not good, it was not pleasing, and it was not perfect. And if you had asked me back then, can you change? Will you change? Intellectually, I would have said, well, I know you can, but if I was being honest, and I probably would have been, I would have said no. I have been this way my whole life, and I suspect I will always be this way. And guess what? I've changed. And I have changed so much. I still have changing to do, okay? I'm not completely in the end zone yet. I'm not where I want to be yet. But if you ask my wife, and you should ask her, she would tell you, he's not the same person. He's not the same person I used to be married to. It's like he has a new self because God has changed me. I am way more living his will for my life. And it turns out his will is good and pleasing and perfect. The goal for you is transformation. We move down the field towards the end zone. The end zone is transformation. And that is one of the great things about football is there's an end zone. There is a goal, right? The other thing that's great about football is that there's a strategy. There's a strategy. Can you picture football with an end zone? Okay, so we need to get the ball in there, but no rules, no strategy. And so, you know, you see these guys, they're running around the field, they're grabbing each other, they're throwing a ball, and somebody's like, hey, how exactly do you get the ball down the field? We don't know. Okay, but how many times do you get to try before the other team gets the ball? We don't know. There's no rules. There's no strategy. No, that wouldn't work, right? Actually, I think most people who don't like football, that's why. It's because they watch it and they don't know the rules. They don't know the strategy. And it just looks like nonsense. They like watch it on TV and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. And it's because they don't understand the strategy. It's like, I know they're supposed to get the ball that way across the goal line, but what are they doing? Like, none of this makes sense to me. If you watch a sport and you don't understand the strategy, the sport seems stupid. And I think some people who don't get church, they don't because they don't get the strategy. They don't get the strategy. It's like, okay, so we're supposed to be transformed, I guess, right? So the reason we do all this is so that, you know, you become more like Jesus or whatever. But how? Do you just show up at church enough weeks and presto, that happens? Or how did, Vince, you claim that happened for you? How did that happen? Like, did you pray for it and God answered your, what happened? I don't get it. I understand. I did not grow up in church. I didn't go to church until I was in my 20s. And when I started going, I didn't understand. I didn't understand the why behind what we were doing and being asked to do. I didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing or how it all worked together. And that's why at Verve, we've tried to make it easy to understand. Very simple. In fact, what we say is as simple as 1, 2, 3. The strategy to help people experience transformation is 1, 2, 3. 1 God, 2 communities, and 3 people. 1 God, 2 communities here at church, and 3 people outside of church. I'm going to explain the strategy, and the thing that you're going to see is it's all about connection. It's all about connection because it turns out transformation doesn't happen in isolation. It happens through connection. And so this whole strategy is all about connection. 3 different areas of connection. 1, 2, 3. Ready? 1, God, who I'm staying connected to. So I can stay connected to God by every day getting up and reading the Bible. And so I'm experiencing God. I'm listening to what God has to say to me. I can pray throughout my day. I can go to church every week where I worship God and where I get to learn more about him. I can give generously back to God. I can confess when I realize I've sinned and have kind of that intimacy of being forgiven by him. So 1 God who I stay connected to. And what happens is as I stay connected to God, it's like I'm giving him space to work in my life. And with that invitation, God will come into my life and he will go to work. Like a sculptor, he'll start to shape me into the me I'm supposed to be. He'll transform me. So, 1 God who I stay connected to, and then 2 communities here at church who I'm connected to. 2 communities. 1 is a Verve group. So Verve groups are a group of friends who get together once a week, and what that gives me is encouragement and support and accountability, and allows me to have people to share my life with. Verve groups are probably the most important and best thing we offer at Verve because People grow through connection. And our groups, we start two brand new semesters every year. One of them is starting like in this week and next week. And so today's like your last chance to sign up to be there for the launch of a new group. So I want to encourage you at the Velcro Bar today, or if you leave these doors, there'll be people at high top tables. Sign up for a group today. Not just to be in a group, but because that's the strategy for transformation. Two communities at church. One is a Verve group. The other is a Verve team. Verve team. That's a team that I volunteer with, and we serve together. And I find that that gives my life purpose and allows me to make a difference with my life. And as we serve together, something happens. I experience transformation. One God, two communities here at church, and three people outside of church who I'm connected to. Now, I'm going to be connected to lots of people, but what we encourage you to do is have three people who you're kind of focused on, praying for, investing a lot in that relationship, and I want to be connected to them because it's my hope that they'll get connected to God. And so it's three people who I care about, who God's put in my life, and I want them to experience what I'm experiencing. Like, I can't experience this with God and not share it with people. And as I have these three people I'm connected with, it gives me compassion and direction, and it allows my life to have eternal purpose. And I find it changes me. It's not just for them, it's for me. By the way, this Sunday, we're starting this new series next week called Should Happens. We gave you a couple of invite cards on your seat today. Those are not for you. Those are for you to give to a friend and say something like, hey, I go to this church. It's fun. It's different. It's cool. You don't have to dress up or anything like that. We're starting this new series called Should Happens, and it's all about how to like get out of the expectations and standards you have for yourself and really experience God. I think you'd like it. Why don't you come and try it one time and hand him that card? Okay? Great series to invite your friends to. Now, listen, we don't stay connected to God, two communities, and three people just to stay connected to them. It's not like, okay, I guess if that's the rules, I'll do it. It's not the rules, it's the strategy. It is God's strategy for transformation. And God is very clear about this in the Bible. There's a bunch of places. I'll show you a couple. So, there is a passage, and I'm going to show you just the end of it. It's kind of long, where it talks about how when we get one-on-one with God, when we get FaceTime with God, we are transformed into God's image. That's how we're changed. So here's the end of that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So it says, when we remove the barrier between us and God, and we're connected to God, when we get face to face with Him, we reflect Him and we are changed into His image. And that's the goal, right? God also tells us that we are changed when we're connected to other people in the church. That's how we're transformed to become more like Jesus. So we're going to look at kind of a lengthy passage, and I'm going to stop a couple times just to explain some things. The book of Ephesians, again, chapter 4, starting in verse 11. It says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Let's pause there. Don't get hung up on all those different titles. What it's saying is God's given leaders to the church, and it names some different leadership positions, okay? Why did God give leaders to the church? Next verse. Here's why. To equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let's pause there. So it says the leaders of the church are there to equip the people of the church to find volunteer roles so that they can serve on a team in the church. Why do we want to do that? That's the next verse. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's pause there. So it says the reason is transformation. It says God wants to mature us. He wants us to become fully like Jesus. Look at the next part. It says growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The goal is to become more and more like Jesus. It's transformation, okay? And it calls the church the body. And it says transformation happens as the parts of the body come together. Transformation happens in community when we have connection with each other. So what we learn from God is this. Transformation doesn't happen in isolation. It happens through connection. We could say transformation, like football, is a team sport. Transformation doesn't happen in isolation. It happens through connection. So, if you kind of want to do life on your own, if you're like, you know, I like the self-help. I like to do it myself. You know, I don't want a connection with God. Okay. But I would say that I don't think much or lasting transformation can happen in your life. Or if you say, listen, I don't really want to be in deep relationships with other people in the church. I don't really want to serve with other people. Okay, but I don't think much or lasting transformation can happen because we don't transform in isolation. It happens through connection. And today, instead of just talking about this, we wanted you to see it, to see how this plays out at Verve, because we see this happen all the time at Verve. When people give their lives to God and then grab onto this 1-2-3 strategy, they change. It's beautiful. And so it happens all the time, and it can happen for you. And you can experience transformation if you choose connection instead of isolation. So I want to share with you three stories of transformation via video. And you're going to see the work that God does in people's lives when they give their lives to Him and live connected lives. And you're going to see that God is doing some really cool things here at Verve. And I hope you'll see that God could do this in your life as well. So watch these.
Back in 2008, I had graduated from college and I was living with my parents. I couldn't find a job. I was in a long distance, dead-end relationship. I had a medical episode that life flighted me to the Cleveland Clinic. I was at home one day and the entire right side of my body went numb. So I woke up my mother, and by the time I got to her, I couldn't talk. My mind seemed to put the words together, but I couldn't say them. After I had gotten out of the hospital with really no conclusion to what had happened to me, I got arrested 2 days later. I was smoking marijuana in the car while I was driving. I remember the disappointment on my parents' face when I got out of jail and had to explain this to them. That was really a breaking moment for me. It was devastating to them. I mean, I really wasn't a criminal, but I made bad choices. I had an opportunity to move to Las Vegas, and I felt in my heart that's what I had to do. I'm starting over. I'm changing my life. I'm going to be doing things differently. And I met a really amazing friend. She invited me to Verve, so I thought, you know, what would it hurt to just come and try out church? Everything touched my heart, and it was as if, you know, it was the message was directly to me. I don't have to know everything. I am learning, and I will spend the entire rest of my life learning and growing in my faith in Jesus. My husband, his name is Brian, and he, when he started coming to church, he got connected really quickly, and he joined a group. He was encouraging me to join a group, and I was just, okay, husband, I'm going to commit to this group, and I'm going to just kind of show you that, like, this is really not what I need. I have always thought of myself as like, okay, I'm in this, I'm alone, this is what I have to do to get through. Like, excuse me, like, I have to get through this life. And I realized that it's not all about me. I've been in a group for a little over a year now, and it's amazing. When you have that epiphany that it's the people that will do life with you, it makes the journey so much better. And it's everything that I need. And I absolutely could not imagine not having this group. The Carolyn before and the Carolyn that you see today. I am ready and I am willing to face anything. Like, you bring it on, because it is me and like the army of people that I have with me and the relationship that I have with Christ. My life has such a greater purpose. I am meant for so much more, and getting through everything has now put me in a position where it's like, all right, come on, come on, come on, let's go, come on, everyone together. If we're not helping the people around us, if we're not listening to their stories and relating to them on a personal level, who is? I am not alone, and you are not alone. And I absolutely know that I will stay committed to the lives of these women that are in my group. It turns out it's not all about me.
Me. Not exactly the me I am, the me I dream about becoming. A me still wrapped up in my flesh, a me still wrapped up in living my life. A me your eyes would recognize, but still, you'd notice something different. Something more patient, something more loving, more forgiving, more daring. Something more beautiful, more generous, impervious, honest, and adventurous. Me with a purpose and maybe a plan. Me with peace on the inside, joy on the out, like me 2.0. Not available yet. In a store near you, in a theater near you, online or off, but coming soon. Me. Not exactly the me I am, but the me I want to be.
I came to Verve 5 years ago at a time where there was no way I would come to a church. I was done with church. I was done with God. My parents were not at all loving and demonstrative at all. I have no memory of being hugged by my parents whatsoever. Very early on, my addiction behavior came through food. When no one was around, the food was around. That addictive behavior came to friends that were just off the deep end. And that's where I was introduced to drinking first. From there, I jumped into smoking pot. But the first time I actually got high, my life was complete. I remember that day, I felt like it's where I belonged. I had a couple of friends that were selling acid. So I thought, why not try it? Again, I felt myself in a place of feeling complete and really feeling accepted. I was instantly in a group of a lot more people. Started going out on the weekends more with my friends. And at that point, pills came into it. So after a lot of years of abusing my body, I cried out for help. I was in my 20s at that point, and a really good friend of mine took me in to a psych ward, and it was extremely hard. I started having feelings that I'd never had before. I found myself trying to be an adult. The 5 years I've been here, my life has dramatically changed. It's okay to be angry at God. It's okay to be burned out on church. It's okay to be just the person that I am. I met some great people here that always reinforced the fact that it's okay to be me. It's okay to be Russell. Restore here at Verve is an amazing group of people that are leaders and that are guiding people and walking people hand in hand to better themselves, to better their lives, from a point where they just thought they were worthless. You know, we all have a past and we all have a story, and there's nothing wrong with having those stories. For me, it was a huge move to want to better myself and better my story going forward. It just became a huge part of my life. I started getting involved in this church in ways that I never thought would be possible. I'm leader and leader coach of our Restore Ministry, which is something that's really on my heart. Recovery and redemption are really huge for me. I have hope where there was no hope.
Transformation. You hear all the time that it's not possible. Yeah, it's impossible. People don't change. People won't change. People can't change. They just stay the same and the same and the same. You see them one day and you see them the next. Still frame images regardless of the context. Static, unaltered, unmoving, unchanging. Transformation. Didn't I hear somewhere it's just for robots and movies? Yeah, it's impossible. Except, what about God? Didn't I hear somewhere that nothing is impossible with Him? That God does anything, all things, amazing things? In fact, I hear changing people is something that Jesus is really good at. Like a master mechanic, an artist with a canvas, a chef with ingredients, or a poet with words. Transformation. It's like God's specialty. And maybe if God can change people, then maybe God can change me.
When I was 21, I left home to go to school. Felt like I was the average 21-year-old college student. We'd go out, we'd have parties, we'd do all the normal, or what felt normal, college things. Eventually, I just kind of got sick of the going out, so I would stay at home and have fun. But it eventually got to a point where I had to drink every day. I've always planned ahead holidays because I know grocery stores close and liquor stores close when I get off of work. I would go to the store and try to pay, and entering my PIN number, it was so hard to hit the right buttons that I realized that I needed to do something to change my life. Once I made that realization, I made an appointment, went in, got an evaluation. I went to a treatment center for about a week. They helped me through the detox process. I felt like I was in a room filled with people that were really messed up, not knowing that I didn't know. I didn't realize that I was just as messed up. One day I was sitting at my exit on my way to work. I had 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I was hungover from way too much to drink. And I look over and I see a billboard and it says church for people that don't like church. I went home that night and I looked the church up online. I watched my first service. So the following week I made a choice to come in. Walked in the door and, you know, everybody's together. They all look happy and people said hello to me. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know you. Why are you talking to me? I would normally have a few drinks before I would put myself into a social situation because that's how I felt most comfortable. I sat in the back row, and as soon as the service ended, I was probably the first one out the door. Being at a church without anything to drink, I felt like it was somewhere that I just shouldn't be. It was the place that I needed to be at the time. that was when I reached out. I actually asked Vince if I could come in and talk to him, and I came in and laid out all my cards right there. Vince told me about a ministry that was coming up that he was really excited about. Restore was about to start, so I got in on that. Still not quite where I wanted to be, but I knew I was on my way. I was working towards it. I had to change. And that was the last day I had a drink. Coming to Restore and actually reading and studying and committing myself to putting in the work, but putting in the work and not picking up another drink.